It's Chip, we need to fire the band, man, or else we got to keep them away from the there. All right, man, it's Tuesday night.
You know what's interesting, though?
What's that, Chip?
Is that
Go
when
ahead.
You listen to the podcast, it doesn't drag.
Huh. That's just really weird,
just
man.
It's live that it drags. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. So we don't have to fire the band. So, sorry, dudes, don't pack up your gear. All right. All right, it's Tuesday night, Kayak Fishing Radio. I had to do a quick edit on the fly there because my show started with Chip's intro, and we can't have that because people get confused. So got some people on the switchboard here, and we're going to get to them in a second. But I am your illustrious co-host, Rob, a bad backcast of war, and as you can tell, I'm doing completely too many things at once, so forgive me, I got to get my head about me here, because it's, we're rolling. Okay, this is the a bad backcast live show on Kayak Fishing Radio Network, and you can keep up with me and my goings-on at my blog, when I decide to write. At my my blog is www.abadbatcast.com. And also, you can catch some of the goings-on in kayak fishing in the ultimate kayak fishing resource, which is yakangler.com. So make sure that you check in with that. Also, if you're on the website there and you see the little link over there to the right-hand side, and it says should somewhere on that website should be the Angler's Choice Awards, Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. I'm sorry. Somebody bring me some coffee, quick, because I'm crashing already, and it's only 8:02. Anyway, the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, where you can go and nominate and vote for your favorites, kayak, gear, anglers, people. What else can they vote for? Innovative product. Anything that you feel deems worthy of a nomination for a Yaki Award, as we're going to call them. So that is the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. Make sure you get in there, nominate, vote. Have some interesting results so far for some nominations. You cannot vote for me or any of the other Kayak Fishing Radio hosts as much as you would love to. And I'm flattered that people nominate me, but I can't be counted because I'm one of the vote counters. And Mark Yaksushi and Adam, Yak Angler Adam, cannot be nominated, nor can you nominate or vote for yakangler.com. We are the vote counters. Ooh, sounds like Greg Crisp is on the line. Greg Crisp from Ringe, New Hampshire. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent. For those of you who do not know, as of yesterday, the always popular Greg Crisp, who writes yakfish.net. I got that right, right?
Yep, got that right.
Okay. I get them mixed up, and, you know, when you're daft like me, you tend to say the wrong thing sometimes. Anyway, Greg Crisp is our latest and greatest pro staff member at yakangler.com. He's always on there and always pitching in and helping out, and we appreciate all your hard work, Greg, and welcome aboard, and congratulations. Thanks, kids. All right.
Thank you very much.
So, no problem. All right, man, we got a house full so far, and welcome to the show. Mark Lozier's in the chat room. Aaron's in there. Hey, look, Yak Angler Adam's in there, man. Good to see you in there. And the Fishing Chef. Chef, man, you've been, like, knocking down some serious recipes and stuff on your Facebook page. Some of your pictures on there are pretty devastating, man. It makes me hungry. It's hell for a vegetarian, let me tell you. And the big fly reel, Greg Becker. Excuse me. Sorry, too many Gregs in the house. What's going on, Greg? How you doing, man? Apollo Beach,
Greg,
Florida.
Not enough time. Good evening, everybody.
Resident scientist and, or at least on our panel, Greg Becker knows a lot about fish, man. So I like to tap him as a resource when I can't catch fish. I want to ask Greg why, and maybe I'll get a halfway decent answer besides sink your kayak and throw your rods and reels into the channel. So anyway, today's giveaway, which I know that's why you're all here, Jeff Madre from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, sent a very nice package of a couple of these lures that they use up there from they're actually manufactured and made and sold up there in where he Outer Banks up there, and they're called a glass minnow and from the Shore Lure Company. Say that real fast. And they're pretty nice. They're like heavy spoons. They're an ounce and a half and probably 3 ounces long. They have a little reflective tape on the side and a colored back with like maybe a white belly. And they kind of remind me of like a jigging spoon type of thing. And they're awesome. They look really good. And they'll probably, just looking at them, I'm thinking, wow, those will probably be fantastic for Spanish mackerel, which it's that time of year, folks. If you live in Florida, the Spanish mackerel are on the prowl and probably one of the target fish that you want to be going after this time of year. But we'll get into that later. That's right.
Can't touch this.
Who's doing that? Who did that? Was that you, Chip?
Yeah.
Anybody? Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, my God, you scared me. So, anyway, yeah, we'll get into the Spanish mackerel.
Sound like you were going to have a good pause there.
Yeah. We'll get into the Spanish mackerel stuff later, what you do to catch them. They're always one of my favorite fish in the summer because usually you can't just catch just one. Normally they're in packs and of line-shredding goodness. Miniature kingfish, man. So we'll get into that in a little while. And so we're going to give away those that prize pack. I got one. Jeff sent me a set, and I'm going to give away a set. So we'll get into that later, too. And I know that's why y'all are here, so that's the giveaway tonight. So wait, why are y'all hanging up? You can win, I promise. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, let's see. Okay, there was a post on the Yak Angler Forum this week about the short boat trend. I can't remember exactly who started it, but it was a pretty interesting topic. And we're finding that more and more kayak manufacturers, and, you know, one of the things that really sticks in my head through that whole forum thread was that, and Yak Sushi is the one that was talking about it, is the fact that kayak fishing is not just for the coasts anymore. And folks nowadays are heading for shorter boats, as shorter boats are more conducive to fishing rivers, lakes, and ponds, for the most part. And what I mean by short boat, I'm saying 10, 11, 12 feet, which is different from the short bus, because if you see a short bus, just look for me, okay? I'll be in the back. But anyway, the short boat trend, man, you know, what do you guys think about that? You think you can use it? And we're going to go down the line here. We have the always dreaded, he lives in Mosquito Lagoon, and he is the always popular Redfish Chuck. How you doing, Chuck?
Good, man. I'm trying to log on so I can see what you're doing, and I don't know how, and I gave up.
Well, actually, Chip is in there. I'm in there. Chip's in there. And one of us will have to log out to get you in.
And, don't worry about it.
You can get in.
As much? Oh, really? He can?
Get in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only one of us can be in the chat room, though.
Ah, okay. But
it's the same account you gave me, Chip.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we'll get you in there, man. And trust me, Chuck, if I can do it, you shouldn't have a problem.
Short kayak.
Yes, man. What do you think about that?
I can see the use for them in a lake or in a pond or in a stream or something like that, for sure. There's no need to have such a long kayak, in my opinion, for fishing a small body of water, because I guess paddling wouldn't be quite as important if you're not going to travel long distances. Lisa, would be my take on that. I personally couldn't see fitting my size into a small kayak. I think I'd look like an overstuffed plastic bin. I don't even know where I'm trying to go with that.
A lot of smaller, the shorter boats are basically, they're big brothers. They're just, what they do is, a lot of times I'm noticing is, like the new Hobie Revolution 11 and such, they're just basically chopping down the bows and the sterns for the most part. And usually the cockpits are pretty close to being right around the same size as the bigger ones are. Yeah, no?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, well, yeah, I guess. I'm just, I like my 14-foot-long kayaks, man. I paddle a long way, so, I know those 14-footers paddle a lot better than the shorter ones do, but like I said, I can see in the right application it definitely having its advantages, for sure.
Yeah, now, I don't know. To me, a 12-foot kayak is, I have no real need for a 14-foot boat. It presents problems for me storing it. It presents problems for me hauling it up and down the stairs and things like that. So for me, a 12-foot boat is perfect, Now, let me ask you this. Does it matter, stability-wise, if it's still, let's say, 33 inches wide, is a 12 going to be less stable than a 14?
That I don't know, but I haven't put a lot of time in a 12-foot boat, but I saw Adam saying that he stands up in it. That doesn't really count. If you're 5'1" and weigh 140, then no, but actually, I've got a really good friend of mine that fishes out of a Redfish 12, Heritage Redfish 12,
yeah.
And he stands and push pulls right alongside me, so he doesn't seem to have any problems with stability at all, and he's a big fellow like myself, so... No, I think it's really cool, actually, because what it's also doing, too, is it's giving smaller smaller framed people something they can manage in and out of a vehicle, kids even. I've noticed that a lot lately. There's been a lot of families getting together and going kayaking because so many manufacturers are making smaller and smaller boats.
Yeah, and, something like a Mini X is perfect for, a kid, a 10- or 12-year-old kid, Greg Becker, what do you think about the short boat trend, man? Not short bus, short boat.
Hey, wait a minute. You introduced Becker and you didn't get his music, man.
What's his music?
No, it's all good. It's all right.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I forgot about that, man. See, you sneak in these clips, Chip, and I totally miss out on them, man. I'm sorry, Greg. I didn't know that.
I forgot
that you had new intro music, man.
No, it's all good. It was more a dig at the producer.
Becker's intro.
It's more of a dig at the producer.
Man, okay. So what do you think, Greg? What do you think of the short boat trend? You think
I agree with Chuck. I think they're boats that are a lot more manageable for those of less manly stature than gentlemen like he and I. They're a lot more a lot easier to manage. And again, where you're not as concerned with stability and moving water or wind or things like that, I think they've got a really good place. I've got the same issue though. I came from the you know, the professional bass fishing, and we talked about this on a previous show, that school of what you bring with you, which is everything,
everything
in the garage that you can fit. You know, I even thought at one point about having a little tow-behind trailer that I could just unhook from the truck and hook up to the boat. So I'm paring down, and I guess, you know, from a minimalist standpoint, that'd be cool. I mean, I've got a 10-foot Cobra Play that Junior Fly Reel has just started paddling around, and I think it's a great opportunity for the kids to get into smaller and less expensive boats that, you know, I think less plastic is less money.
Sure,
I think it tends to open up the sport to a lot more people who might be intimidated by the size and the weight of a Malibu Stealth 14 or a monster boat like that, that they could do just about everything except set up a hide-a-bed couch and a television on.
Exactly.
And they'll be stable enough to fish where they can actually now get out and enjoy the sport. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for that in the marketplace.
Well, and I agree with you. You know, this last weekend, instead of fishing, my buddy Keith wanted to go kayak shopping. You know, he's the one with the sit inside that likes to sink. Anyway, so he had his mind set on a Malibu Pro Explorer, which is, it's a nice kayak, you know. And looking at it up on the kayak rack and everything, I thought, well, wow, that's not a bad little boat, you know, for the price. It's, you know, pretty affordable and everything. So he's like, I want to sit in the thing. You know, he's got his tape measure out, and he's doing all these scientific, you know, scientific equations and mathematical, you know, things, carry the one and all that stuff, you know, where I get totally lost. But anyway, he did it, and he measured all the stuff out, and he wasn't sure about it. So he pulls the thing down. You know, we get it down. We set it on the little foam blocks and stuff, and he sits in it, man. And let me tell you, that thing, I sat in it, and it was like I love Malibu products and stuff, but this thing was definitely not built for a full-grown man, you know. And I'll tell you, you know, it's 12 foot, and I think it was 31 inches wide or something like that, and the seat, it was like a socket, man. And, you know, I mean, I know I'm a little bit on the tubby side, but I'm not that big, man, where, you know, I'm like getting stuck wearing a kayak around going, hey, man, can you pull this thing off of me? But it was a tight fit, and he quickly scratched that one off of his list. But at the moment, he's got his eye on and we went to several kayak shops, Bill Jackson's and things of that nature, places like that. And he's got his eye on he really wants to test drive a Native Manta Ray, which is a 12, which is a, you know, it's not a bad little boat. And we, once again, you like the look of it, but, you know, until you sit in the thing and take it for a test ride, you know, you never know. So, and we'll be able to do that this weekend. Is the always dreaded paddle-fishing.com demo days at the Gandy Causeway, west end of the Gandy Causeway, St. Pete side, for all of you directionally challenged folks out there. And we'll be down there giving out some kayak fishing radio swag and test driving some kayaks. That would be Saturday the 23rd, which is this Saturday. So I believe that's from 9 to 1 p.m. So make sure that you get down there if you want to test drive some kayaks. All sorts of kayak manufacturers are going to be there. Malibu, Hobie, Ocean Kayaks, Diablo, I can go on. Well, I was surprised to not see Native there, though, which was kind of strange to me, with all the Native pro staffers that we have in the area, and everybody is absent from that. So if you are a Native pro staffer and you're listening, make sure you give Rick, R-I-K, at paddle-fishing.com an email, and he'll tell you how you can get in there. No, that's not me, man. I promise. All right. Greg Crisp, man, what do you think about the short boat trend? You got any need for short boats? I know you have kids, man.
Yeah. I think as far as your panel of experts, you got the wrong panel for the small boats tonight.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's I think we're all, you know, everybody here is, you know, 6 foot plus and probably over 200 lbs, man.
Yeah. But, no, the short boats, I think, are good. I know I put my my X-Factor in a river, and it was a bear to handle. You know, it was just too long for the small river I was in. And, you know, hard to turn, got in a couple spots and had to try to back out up current with it because I couldn't get it turned around. And so I think it's a market that's, you know, definitely in need of boats. You know, I think it's great, you know, with kayaks. You know, personally, I'd like to own half a dozen or so, you know, one for one for every different type of fishing I do.
Right.
You know, if I can sneak it past my wife, I would probably do that. But, you know, I got this year I bought my wife a Tarpon 120, which is sort of right on the outside of the small boat trend. And I tried it out when we were on vacation the other week and was actually surprised at how steady that boat was. Last year when I was looking at my kayak, I demoed a Tarpon 140 and 160, and where they were long boats, they were also quite a bit more narrow than the Tarpon 120, and I just wasn't comfortable in them. But the Tarpon 120 I was actually pretty comfortable in, and it's, you know, a full almost 2.5 feet shorter than my X-Factor.
Wow.
So, you know, and, you know, looking, you know, even further at that Ride 115, which should be a lot more stable boat than the Tarpon series, should be, you know, a nice little boat. But, you know, you're going to have to, especially us big guys, are going to have to limit how much stuff we take along with us. You know, it is a niche market, you know, just like the, you know, the Ultimates are, the Native Ultimates.
Well, I tell
great.
You what, say what you will about Native Ultimates, I think that's a great inshore boat. That has, like, one of the best seats ever. And I just saw Chip talking about that in the chat room. All right, we got somebody else on the line here, and this is the... let's see. Okay. Area code 502 from Louisville, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. It's Adam. Yeah, Gangler Adam.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. I couldn't bite my tongue anymore. I'm listening to this short boat conversation, and I had to chime in. Cause
come on in, man. That's what we're here for. I want to hear what you have to say about it, man. Go ahead.
Well, obviously, Kentucky, we're inland anglers, so... We know we do a lot of smallmouth fishing, a lot of skinny water. I just think that the room is kind of discrediting the stability of the short boat or the weight capacity of the short boat or that it's a small boat or a small guy kind of boat. I mean, you look at Mark Yaksushi, who's 230, I guess, somewhere around there. And, you know, he's paddling around a 10-foot Diablo, paddling around a Mini X. New canoe 10 foot is like a 400 pound capacity, so you still got a lot of room. Maybe not the Mini X, but the Diablo, the new canoe, you got a ton of room in these boats. They have a pretty high weight capacity, extremely maneuverable in tight waters. For us, I mean, really here, the only reason that we would need a long boat over 12 feet is if you're going to paddle a long distance in a big, you know, lake. But I just think a 12-foot boat here for us is probably ideal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like I said, you know, my boat is a 12, but I just don't really have a need for 14. I mean, yeah, I can go out in big water in mine, no problem. you know, it's stable enough. It, you know, I've never felt unsafe in my boat, and you know, no matter how nasty it's ever been. So I think that that's, you know, but you know, it's not. Yeah, that this is true. Don't confuse a shorter boat with a, you know, a small guy's boat, a kid's boat, something that's not going to handle something. As long as you got, you know, most of them are stable enough to handle that sort of thing. The kind of problems that you're going to run into with a shorter boat, though, like Adam said, if you're paddling long distance on a lake or something, it's not going to track very well. There's been, you know, some people have some issues with, you know, the tracking, but you know, when you're on a river, you don't really have to worry about tracking because you're not really paddling that much, are you, Adam?
No, and the other thing that, you know, that we haven't brought up yet is a lot of these shorter boats are being made without a keel. So, for example, the Ocean Kayak 11 does have a fairly good-sized keel, and I can tell you that a lot of times in swift water, even in that 11-foot, that keel catches, and you cannot turn that boat back around. So you're stuck just kind of drifting at the angle you're drifting, whereas, say, a 14-foot Ultimate without a keel handles much better in that tight water. So a lot of these smaller boats are being made, most of them are being made without a keel for that purpose. But now that 11-foot Ocean Kayak with a keel does track fairly well in bigger water. Not as well as the 13 or 15, but still tracks pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like one of the boats that people were talking about, and I'm not hammering on anybody, any kayak manufacturer whatsoever here. But I've heard that, like, the Jackson, some of their stuff, their shorter boats don't track very well, you know, and people, that's one of the big complaints I've heard about it. Now, they got a great seat in that one, too.
Yeah, that's a river-specific boat. I mean, that was absolutely made 100% for small rivers.
But the problem is people get those and they take them, you know, they're going to take them out, you know, down here, you know, and they're not going to like them. You know, but I tell you that one thing I do like about that Jackson, though, is that seat, the way that you can adjust it and move it up and down and everything. Now, Adam, you fish in a new canoe now. How, you know, where do you don't take that out on a river, do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, the review on that boat will be posted this week. And in fact, I'm right below a dam in that boat. And, you know, there's some pretty decent current and things in that water as well. I love that boat. It doesn't have scupper holes, but that's probably my biggest issue.
Really? No scuppers? Wow.
No.
Cool. What's your favorite thing about it?
But without saying anything, I hear rumors that there may be some new designs in that, but I don't really know what all's going on. But I love it, man. It's 12 feet long. It's 42 inches wide or something. I literally walk around that thing like a bass boat.
Wow. Yeah, what is it, 46 inches wide or something? I mean, it's pretty, I was impressed. When
it's 42, it's 42, 44. But the whole concept behind it is it's a hybrid canoe kayak, kind of like the Native Ultimate, except this boat was made so wide that you can re-enter it. Whereas I'm pretty sure a Native Ultimate, you're going to sink that thing, or you're going to have to drag it back to the shore to get back in it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one thing that I don't like about those, by the way. But that's just my, you know, they have, like, those are really nice boats, man, all the way around. And
yeah, to be honest, I think, you know, before I, you know, sort of take over this conversation,
you're good.
Back off. But, you know, I think, you know, on Yak Angler, when we get asked these questions about what kind of kayak should I get, you know, everyone in the whole room chimes in demo, 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 demo.
Yeah.
And my first hit on top was a 13-foot Ocean Kayak, you know, Prowler Trident. And if I knew then what I know now about the style of fishing that I do, I would not have ever bought that boat. I think it's a great boat. I think it's a well-thought-out boat, but it's a great offshore boat. For me, I want a big flat surface that I can stand up and move around on, because I stand all the time. I know, you know, Yak Sushi stands all the time. It's just the kind of fishing that we do here. So for us, a big flat surface is more important than the rod pod and the solar thing for the fish finder. You know, all of that other stuff that's in there. We just want a big flat surface.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just that, once again, it depends on the kind of fishing you do. That's one thing that we talk about a lot. And, you know, there is no perfect kayak for every situation that you might run into. I mean, we have some rivers here, but, you know, they're going to be small creek-fed rivers, you know, or spring-fed rivers, you know, like Weekiwachee and things of the, you know, places like that, you know. So I myself don't do a whole lot of river fishing, you know, because I've got, you know, the Gulf of Mexico right here, you know, a mile away. I understand exactly what you're saying, man. Yeesh, who was that? That wasn't me. That must have been Chuck.
My bad.
Okay. Oh, my God. You guys are funny. Chip, man, what do you think about this short boat, trend lately?
I think everybody should have one to tow around with their cooler in it.
And a clone.
I agree with you there.
You can have a clone, too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the Mini X, you know, that Adam mentioned, you know, that's the clone's first boat, and I played around in it. I really like the Mini X for rivers, for going down the Chattahoochee, because it's easy to maneuver and stuff, and I'm not paddling. But I'm not saying go short, go long. I know what kind of boat I like, and I like a boat somewhere around 13, 14 feet. You know, that feels comfortable for me. But I have, you know, a ginormous head that, you know, has stone gravity and stuff. So when I stand up, it's tough to keep that, you know, that pencil from tipping over. So, you know, I think that the short boats are great. What it tells me, it's just like listening to Isaac and Adam talking about ICAST. It tells me that the market is growing. It tells me that the kayak manufacturers are listening to the buyers, that they want to see more boats, different types of boats and stuff. I think it's a great thing for the sport. But the bottom line is, for whatever kind of plastic you want, you need to go out there and demo it. And when we say demo, too, we mean stand up in it, grab a fishing pole, try to cast from it. You know, if that's the kind of fishing that you want to do, make sure that you give it a try. And, you know, because if you're buying a kayak to go kayak fishing, demoing it is more than just paddling it around. You should rent it for the day and go fishing in it, you know, and
hey,
really,
Chip,
really get. Go ahead. I'm done.
No, I was going to say, not to step on you. Can I add just one thing to the demo thing? Not only paddle around in the boat, but get out of it. If you're going to wade fish, get out of the boat and get back in, and get back out and get back in, and see how stable the boat is for that. And then tip yourself out in water that you can't stand up in with your PFD on, and then get back into the boat and see how easy that is, because that's very different for kayaks at different sizes. And even if you're fishing, that's the one thing that I don't like about some of the shorter boats is reentry from an accidental water incursion is not as easy in a boat that doesn't have the lateral stability and that tends to roll a little bit more easily, like some of the shorter boats do. It can be much more difficult to get the boat back underneath you if you wind up in the water when you can't put your feet down on the bottom. And that is really worth trying out in water that's a little bit deeper than your knees. When you're demoing a boat, nobody ever really talks about that. But I know when I had Junior here in the pond last weekend for his first foray around, the first thing we did before he stuck a paddle in the water was, he got out of the boat and then got back in. And then as he was getting into the boat and feeling all good about himself, I pushed him back in. And, so he would know for the first time what it was like to fall in the water by accident from the boat and not be shocked the first time it happened when he was by himself, but it was in a controlled environment, so he could, you know, get his face wet by accident, get dunked, and then get back into the boat. I don't see a lot of people doing that when they demo boats, seeing what it's like to get back into it if you have to. And
Yeah.
You know,
the
whole former rescue swimmer thing says it's worth doing.
You know what's great is the first time that I ever went fishing with Adam and Mark from Yak Angler, right? they had these emotions that, I don't know, what were they, Grand Slams or something? And they were out there, you know, when we got back in from fishing, they were out there, like, doing all these, like, deep water re-entries in them and, like, walking from the stern to the bow on it and everything else out in the water, you know? So those guys really know how to demo a kayak, man. So if you have any questions, make sure you shoot them an email at yakangler.com. So Greg Becker, are you heading out to the demo days there on Saturday?
Yeah, I hope to. I'm not sure. Another buddy of mine, 06, and we might be making it a family fishing morning out off Whedon for a couple hours before the demo day, then come back in, park our boats, and walk around for a bit, but I've also been informed that there might be other plans. So we're going to try to, we're definitely going to try to stop by there.
That's exactly what we're doing, man. We're getting down there at the ugly early butt crack of dawn and do some fishing, and I think that thing kicks off at 9 or so. So we should be done by probably 9:30, 10 and be there all skanky and nasty and all that stuff. So if you see me, don't run away. I'll give you a kayak fishing radio sticker, I promise. So it looks like
I feel much better now.
Well, you already have a couple, so. But I'll give you another one. You got to get all your kayaks decked out with KFR gear. All right, man. So Chuck, any other things to remember when you're demoing boats?
No, he just hit it right on the head. I think that's really important that you keep safety in mind as well whenever you're looking at them. I find that too many people go for brands that are the most mainstream brands and don't give anybody else a second look or buy because their buddies have such and such or because, you know what I'm saying? Not that there's anything wrong with that. Most of us will do it. Most of us are guilty of it anyway in other things. But the new canoes and some of the newer companies, the Diablos and stuff like that, that are out that haven't really, I guess, don't have the name recognition like a Hobie or Malibu or so on and so forth too. Those are all boats that people really need to kind of give a chance to and try them out and see what they're all about. You got to find a really good kayak store. I think that's important too. If you're going to Dick's Sporting Goods or you're going to, you know, the big box chain stores, I think you're going to kind of limit yourself on the information you're going to get about the boats too through the salesman, because they don't really care what they're selling. They're just there to work a 9-to-5. You go to a really good reputable kayak store and outfitters. And, just ask the guy honest questions. Hey, you know, what's the return rate on this boat, too? That's something else a lot of guys don't think about, is that these boats do come with warranties, and there's a reason for it. Certain manufacturers have had problems in the past, and others haven't. And, you know, there's things you need to think about down the road for that as well, because if you go out fishing, all of a sudden you get a crack in your hull and you get water intrusion, you're going to be off the water for a while. Now, is that a problem that you can maybe avoid by buying a different kayak? Sure, it could be. You know, I think that's something else that just isn't usually talked about. But it's definitely an issue that I've seen come up a couple of times with friends of mine who have bought boats. So,
cool. That's good information too, man. Greg Crisp, man, you got anything to add about when you're demoing boats, what to look for?
No, I think Greg Becker covered it pretty well that, you know, it's not just getting out there and paddling. It's good to fish from it. You definitely need to see, what it's like getting back into the boat. And sometimes it's hard, but if you're going to be paddling it in different conditions, you got to try it out in those conditions. Well, I had an issue when I was demoing boats up here. I live about 2 hours inland, and I was looking for a boat not only to fish the small ponds and lakes around where I am, but also out in the ocean and dealing with wind and waves and that stuff. And, you know, the dealers that were close to my house, you know, I could demo that boat, you know, in the local rivers or ponds, no problem. But I had to go, you know, travel a couple hours and demo boats, you know, out in the salt water where, you know, I plan to do some fishing when I can. You know, so, you know, be aware of what conditions, you know, you plan on fishing and try it. You know, the other thing that I did want to bring up listening to some of the talks about the shorter boats and, you know, when I was looking, I bought a smaller kayak for my youngest son who's 7 this year. And the one thing that I found is a lot of these short kayaks, you know, the Mini X and, you know, pretty much all of them have a really, really wide beam to them versus the longer ones. And that does make them, you know, more stable than their longer counterparts and allows them to carry about the same weight. So, you know, it's, you know, try them out. You know, if you find a kayak you think you like, do some research and then get in the water and try it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's all I can say is that, you know, for that, you heard it from the panel of the Buzzard's Row here, as Chip calls it. You know, make sure you get out there and try them out. If there's a kayak that you're particularly interested in, try it out, man. You don't know it until you sit in it, take it for a paddle, see how it handles. You might hate it, man. So that's the, you know, that's our advice on that, man. Let's see. Okay, let's get to our next subject. And people are sitting in there like little kids that need to go to the bathroom, and they're going, you know, can you at least give away the prize already so I can red X off of this thing? No, kidding. Spanish Max, you know, the this time of year, the Spanish mackerel come inshore in the west coast of Florida, and they like to play with your lures and kayak anglers and stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that right now. First of all, I'll tell you some of my experiences with it, which is zero. If you look at the kayak wars board, I have 0 points. I still have a goose egg there. I embrace it, and that just proves that I'm like the world's worst angler. So, but you know, you don't have to listen to me, and that's why I have all of these folks here, so you don't have to just go by what I'm telling you. So, Spanish Max, a good way to catch them, first light is a good time to go. They're going to be, they like access to deeper water. I don't think you're going to find them on the flats. I'm sure that people will say, oh yeah, we get them on the flats here all the time. You want to have, you know, probably inlets or adjacent to an inlet, probably on the outside of the inlet, I would imagine. That's where I would look for them at. Openings to bays and things of that nature. That's where you want to go. And one of my favorite things is to use a MEPS silver spoon, probably about 2 inches, maybe 3, and with the treble hook on the back, because those things are notorious for hitting and missing. So what you want to do is you want to cast it, and you want to work it fast. The MEPS has a little bit of a heavier weight to it than say a Johnson's, and you want to work it fast, man. You want to let it sit, you know, let it settle a little bit. If you're in 15 or 20 feet of water, that's a good spot to be, man. And work it fast, jig it up and down, you know, try it. You got to find what's right for it, man. Sometimes you can speed burn that thing across to just straight, and other times you reel it as fast as you can for 10 feet and let it drop. reel it as fast as you can for 10 feet and let it drop. Let's see, sometimes they won't take a spoon, though, man. Sometimes you have to hand feed them with, either sardines or anything silvery. They like scaled sardines, threadfin shad, any kind of bait fish like that. They'll get on those for sure. And that's just how it works, man. So, Craig Becker, what do you think about, have you ever been out after Spanish mackerel?
The closest I came to a Spanish mackerel was having one rip a bait off a tarpon float the last time I was out, as a bunch of them came through. I haven't had the chance to get into them yet.
Ah, okay. Well, they're a lot of fun. They're not the biggest fish in the world, but they're fun, and they sure are really good smoked. You put them in some of your smoked fish spread. Fish and Chef, pay attention. Smoked fish spread, hello. That's one of my favorite things in the world. I don't know how I'm gonna have to like find a vegetarian way to make smoked fish spread. Even though my dairy consumption has gone down quite a bit, but
you can smoke tofu.
Yeah, it's not quite the same though. I'm sorry.
Gross.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Okay. No, it's great, man. You can make tofu taste like anything.
Except smoked fish spread.
If you exactly. Definitely. If you check out the blog, if you look back there through the archives, I think I put a recipe up there last year for that, and it's mighty good, man. It's my redneck recipe writing. You take a little bit of this, and you go and stick. Sorry.
Nice.
Greg Crisp, what do you think about Spanish Max, man? Have you get those up there in your sodium water up there?
No, that's one I haven't caught yet. So.
Okay. They don't go that far.
Don't really have a lot to add there.
Okay, Chip. Now I know you've done a lot of Florida fishing, man. Tell me that they have Spanish mackerel up in Panama City and stuff, and where you used to live near.
Oh yeah, Chip? Man, that's just like the total. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Lou.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Yeah, man. Yeah. You can catch Spanish all over the place up there, man. Little silver spoon and let the kids go crazy, man.
Yeah, now, knowing you, you know, with all of your cobia fishing that you did up there, you'd probably catch some max and use them for bait. Yeah, no, maybe.
No, actually, I found that the fish... No. What's wrong? You can't hear me?
Yeah, I got you. You're good.
Lou. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got you.
I never used Spanish for cobia bait. Catfish, eels, but not Spanish.
Okay, that's cool. Chuck, man, what do you think about you get Spanish max in the lagoon there?
No, man, I don't fish for them in the lagoon. That is one of my favorite fish in the world to catch, man. I like catching them. Not quite as much as I like catching redfish. We get them over here. We get them pretty big. My favorite way to target them, though, because it's the most exciting, is with a free-line finger mullet. You know, I like to just take a finger mullet, hook them back by the tail with a long shank hook. I use a Mustad long shank hook and a 50-pound monofilament tied straight to my braid. This way here, there's no little swivel for them to want to eat. And, man, that is just a lot of fun on light tackle. And I eat them as well. However, I don't smoke them. I've eaten them ceviche style. I've eaten them just straight raw right off the fish. I've eaten them fried. I've eaten them pretty much everywhere you can think of besides smoked. And I do use them for bait, but I don't use them for bait for cobias. We use them for bait for wahoo.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite fish to catch, man.
Yeah, now, are they seasonal there as far as, like, I mean, you see them more certain times of the year than you do others? I know here, you know, right in the middle of summer, like this time of year right now is perfect for Spanish Max.
Now, we get them here when the bluefish show up and the cold water shows up, and usually when it's, I would say, late winter, early spring, and we have clouds and clouds and clouds of glass minnows just off the beach, and you can go out to the jetties and catch them off the bank, or you can go out and paddle just past the breakers and catch them out there on the yak, or sometimes you can go out in the port and find them back in the basins and things like that. But I'll tell you, the secret of all secrets for Spanish mackerel lures, and the cheapest way to do it, you go out and you buy yourself a popping cork, okay? You run that popping cork about 4 foot up on your line, so it's going to be really, you're going to have a real long leader, but you're going to run 50-pound monofilament from that popping cork down to a treble hook. Before you put the treble hook on, you grab one of your handy-dandy McDonald's drinking straws that you picked up on your way down to the water. You cut that drinking straw down into a four-inch section, and fray the bottom of it out to where it kind of like kind of creates a skirt. If you can kind of picture what I'm saying, it'll create a skirt, and then you slip it down over the top of that treble hook and just throw that thing out there. Let it sit for a few seconds. As soon as it hits the water, let it sit. And chug it two or three good times, just boom, 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 one right after another, like real hard, and let it sit. And as that stupid little straw sinks down in the water column, man, those mackerel just bust it up. And the fact that you're using a thick drinking straw tied on top of your leader, you're going to be able to avoid cutoffs. But you'll catch,
cool.
Man, you'll catch those things hand over fist. I mean, just tons of them. So,
now, outside of a drinking straw, what kind of a fly would you recommend for that? Like a spoon fly?
If I were going to target Spanish, I'd probably just tie a clouser or just something with a little bit of weight to it so it can get down a little bit. You can throw a polar fiber minnow at them. They'll destroy it, though, in a few casts. So something cheap that's easy to tie.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool, man. That's a good. That's some good information, man, from the panel. And I tell you, I love catching me some Spanish max. That drinking straw trip. That trick is true, man. I've seen that before, and I was always amazed by that. You know, so that just goes to show. You can catch. You know, redfish Chuck. He can even catch fish on a drinking straw. So, and now let me ask you this about leaders. Do you need to use steel or tieable steel or anything like that, or just use heavier mono?
No, I just use heavier mono, man, because over here the water tends to be pretty clean during the winter, and those fish will pick up on that wire over here. So I always get better bites on the monofilament. I don't use fluorocarbon for them. I don't use fluorocarbon for a lot of things, you know that, but 50-pound mono seems to do just fine. And I've used 50-pound off the piers and off the jetties and been able to hoist those fish up over my shoulder, flip them up style, you know, so that I can get them onto the deck and put them in a cooler. But one quick tip, if you're going to keep Spanish mackerel, you're going to keep them to eat them, bleed them.
How big do they have to
catch
be?
Them. They got, over here, I guess it's the same all the way around the state, 12 inches at the fork of the tail, not the tip of the tail, and you're allowed 15 of them per person. So
good
that's
job,
a lot of fish,
Chuck.
But I mean, you can catch 15 of those things in, I mean, when they're firing over
minutes.
Here, you can get 15 in, not even that, man, in 5 minutes you have 15 fish in your bucket. But bleed them as soon as you catch them. When you go to clean them, skin them, take the skin off them, cut the little red strip of meat out, and then eat them that day or the day after. Please do not freeze them because you'll ruin them. You just might as well use them for shark bait.
All right, man. Well, that's good. Good tips, man. And that was our kayak fishing radio Bad Backcast Live tip of the week, right there from Redfish Chuck. We're gonna go around the room one more time, and then we're gonna give away prizes. And this is Jeff Madres from North Carolina's very own. He didn't make them, but sent them to us from the Shore Lure Company from the Outer Banks, North Carolina. And we're hoping to see Jeff at the Charleston Boondoggle. If you need information on the Chucktown Boondoggle, that would be Columbus Day weekend right near Charleston. South Carolina. I'm not sure. Scuba Stan hasn't come back with a definite on the recon yet, but we're leaning towards Edisto Beach, which is right near Chucktown. Join us out there. We're going to have a lot of fun. If you need the details, that is at yakangler.com under events. And one person that I'm pretty sure will be there, Chip Gibson, the Thursday night host. Chip, man, you getting excited about the Chucktown Boondoggle? That's only a couple of months away, man.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked. I'm ready to go.
Good deal, man. Did you hear anything back from Scuba Stan yet? With the recon, the Adesso Beach recon?
Right. Edisto Beach is kind of, you know, it's like right on the beach, so it would be kind of offshore stuff. The place to the north of Charleston would be Mount Pleasant, and that's where the KOA is, but it's Copahee Sound, which I think if we have enough people, we could probably have a better campsite at the KOA, because I don't think the Edisto Beach is very big. So he's looking right now for folks who are, you know, if you go to yakangler.com and go on to the Chucktown Boondoggle section there and put your thumbs up for wanting to go, and we get an idea, then we're going to approach the he's going to check with the campgrounds to see if we can, you know, get some sites together, that kind of thing. So him and I think LGB are working together on getting it set up and purchasing all the sweet water in Chucktown to bring out to the campground.
I want the fishing chef to show up too, man, because I want to have some top notch grub while we're there, man. You know, get out there fishing,
right,
I'm fishing some chef, and come back in and get some. You know, what's that dish that he made especially for you, and put the recipe on Yak Angler there. What was that, Chip? Do you remember?
Like some. No,
I don't recall that, but it looked really good.
You know, some. Yeah, I think that would really be totally awesome to get the guys in here, and a little ceviche and some sweet water and some fritters, you know, and all. Oh man.
Heck yeah.
Maybe some grits and shrimp.
I wonder if the fish and chef has like a top notch, like world class, like, you know, portable kitchen that, you know, instead of having a trailer full of kayak stuff, you know, a trailer full of, you know, top-notch cooking gear. That would be awesome. Red fish with crab and corn.
He says red
with
fish.
There you go.
Yep, I'm
awesome.
In. He said he's going to be there,
right.
So that's cool.
Awesome.
Hey, look, man, I got to drop out. You guys have been fun, and I think Chuck is doing a great job with the board there.
Yeah.
All right.
He's been killing
me. I'll
check
you guys out later,
man. I've been, like, really having to mute myself from laughing. So, Chuck, you're doing a good job.
You see the blue bar at the top of the board there?
Yeah. So, for all of
you. All right. Talk to you guys later, man.
All right, man. Take care, Chip. And, for all of you who don't know, we let Redfish Chuck into the switchboard mode, and he has been just writing all kinds of stuff next to people's names on our switchboard here. It's supposed to, it has the, you know, you type in the name of the caller, and it's just, they're all statements from Redfish Chuck there, man. So he's just been getting me all day, all night long, man. I've been sitting here, like, having to mute my mic because I'm laughing so hard. You know, it's what happens when you get a bunch of grown adults acting like we're 12. Greg Crisp, man, how you doing? You going fishing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm definitely going fishing. Hoping to try to get out in Manchester Harbor. Going to try to see if we can catch some fish in the daylight instead of fishing all night this week. So we'll see what happens.
Cool. Sounds awesome. Greg Becker, are you said that you were heading around Weedon Island there or something this weekend? Good deal.
Yeah, good Lord willing, on the creek don't rise. We're going to try that. I was supposed to be tarpon fishing last weekend and then fishing with Junior Fly Reel, but I got a mile from Indian Rocks Beach in the car and had to turn around and spent the rest of the weekend in bed with a real bad case of the flu. So I'm hoping for not a rematch for this coming weekend.
That's not good, man.
No, it was not good.
When you got to turn around halfway there, man, that's no. I'd have to be pretty sick, man. So I imagine you're the same way too. Well, I'm glad. I hope you're feeling better, man, and good luck to you this weekend, man. And you know, if you see me, say something, man.
You know. Oh, absolutely. I'll have plenty to say. Don't worry.
I'll be the guy in green. So. that'll be awesome. Chuck, you fishing this weekend?
I'm going fishing this weekend.
Awesome.
I'm going to head out to the port at night. I heard from a little birdie that there's been some big flounder in the port, so I'm having a hankering for some crab-stuffed flounder fillets.
Awesome.
So that's the plan. That's the plan. No inshore fishing for me. I got to work the rest of the week. One of the kids has a doctor's appointment, so that's going to take up my other day off and try and kill some flounders and some mangrove snappers towards the weekend.
Well, that's the way to do it. Well, right now, we're going to give away this these lures here. You get a set of these lures. One's pink, one's a natural. And this is from the Shore Lure Company from the Outer Banks. Jeff Madre swears that his wife caught a 6.5-pound Spanish mack on it, which is a pretty big Spanish mack. And he caught a giant redfish recently on one of these lures. So if you're interested in obtaining one, hit us up on the Kayak Fishing Radio LLC fan page on Facebook. Leave us a nice message. And I'm going to go with message number 2 tonight. So go ahead and do that now. We got a few more minutes left over. As I said, I am going fishing ugly early down near the Gandy, and I'm going to be attending the paddle-fishing.com demo day. So if you see me, say hey, or run the other way. I promise I'm harmless. Chuck's writing on the on the Kayak Fishing Radio LLC page, Chuck. That would be the main page. And I'm gonna refresh here in a few minutes. And poster number 2. I will need your address. So anyway, yeah, I'm going to get down there. I'm going to hopefully be able to test drive a couple of kayaks myself. Hopefully they'll have some good Hobies down there, and it'll be good to see everybody. If you see me, I'll give you a Kayak Fishing Radio sticker, and you can put that on your brand new boat. Folks from Masthead Enterprises and Osprey Bay, I believe, and a bunch of other places are scheduled to be there too. So look for the tents. That's from 9 to 1 p.m. On Saturday the 23rd at the West End or the St. Petersburg end of the Gandy Causeway. Gandy Bridge, Gandy Causeway, whatever you want to call it there, man. So urinating excellence from top to bottom. Let me refresh the page here and see if we got a winner. And that would be the Fishing Chef. Nice try, Chuck. Oh, yeah, speaking of PFDs, Greg Becker, I just picked up a new one. I'm going to get that thing dirty this weekend. Hopefully not seriously. I'm going to just hopefully test it out. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I got the Stolquist, man, so I'm excited about it. Took me a while to get it all fitted, but I'm glad, man. So, yeah, wear your PFD, folks. So, Fish and Chef, Robbie Delaney, you will need to give me your address, sir. Go ahead and send me a message on Facebook, on my page, not the Kayak Fishing Radio page, and I'll get that shipped out to you next week or this week or next week or sometime. You'll get it, trust me. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our hour. And we have had a fun show tonight, man. And I appreciate everybody that has come in and listened and put up with me and my stupidity and some good information from the rest of the folks in here with Greg Becker and Chuck and Greg Crisp and Chip. Thank you, everybody. Big Fly Reel, Fish and Chef, Mark Lozier. There he is. Did you ever get in here? I saw you were having some trouble and your audio was cutting out and people were getting kicked out of the chat room. Aaron's in here in the chat room. Ghost1066, Tommy Ellis. That's it. If you want some killer custom lures, look up Following Ghost. Google Following Ghost and click the Lures tab and Tommy can hook you up, man. Yak Angler Adam, thanks for coming in and weighing in on your opinion on the short boat trend, man. And I'm not putting short boats down at all, man. I think it's great. Anybody that's out kayak fishing, I don't care how big your kayak is, man. You're out there doing it, and I think that's awesome. So until next week, we will talk to you guys later. And remember, Chef, go ahead and shoot me an email, and I will get that out to you this week. This is a pretty nice tattoo. And that's right. We're going to pop some sweet waters, and we're going to go night-night, as I say to my doggie every night. This is a Bad Bat Cast signing out. Check out my blog, badbatcast.com or abadbatcast.com, yakangler.com. And next week I'll tell you about my fishing seminar coming up right here locally. You too can attend a badtastic fishing seminar and win a badtastic prize pack. So until next week, thank you for coming in. And this is Rob, a Bad Bat Cast DeVore, signing out. Anybody have any questions? Shoot me an email, rob@abadbatcast.com. See ya!